Good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Thank you very much for coming to give a share here. And thank you to everybody for coming to listen, especially to Mazeda, Zangazum, and Father. Before we get to the main inion of the Shia, I would like to discuss a little halacha inion which is relevant to this week. The Magen Avraham brings a minhag on Shabbos Shira to feed the birds. He said there's a minhag to feed the birds, chitin, to feed them wheat on Shabbos Shira. The wheat we named Hashem B'Sharach with Shira. And he said it's incorrect. What he means is there's a halacha in Shulchan Aruch that Chazal said you're not allowed to feed animals or birds or any animals on Shabbos because the tircha is there. It's unnecessary bother to feed animals on Shabbos. However, there is an exception. If the animals are yours, meaning that your responsibility to feed, it doesn't have to be dafka yours, it can belong to a neighbor of yours as well, it doesn't make a difference, then you're allowed to feed them, because that tircha is mutter. But some of it to feed animals which are not your responsibility, you're not allowed to feed. And therefore these birds which you're feeding on Shabbos Shira are not your own private birds, they're the birds that are flying around in the sky. So the aim is when you say alecho, you're not allowed to feed them on Shabbos. That's what the Magen Avraham says. And he finishes off, he says, V'ayin oilat Shabbos, the leke beit yetzis. So if you look at the Machzah Sheker, he explains what the Magen Avraham means, his last few words. The Eilat Shabbos discusses the Gemara Shabbos of Kufnun here with this. The Mishnah says that Ein Reis Nimayim Lifnei Devorim V'Lifnei Yoinim Sheva Shevach. You mustn't put water in front of bees or some Yoinim doves. You're not allowed to put water there for them to drink. You're allowed to put in front of the domestic birds, you're allowed to put water. So the Gemara says, what's the difference? Rashi says in the Gemara, the difference must be that honey ain't mezoni sein alecho, but honey ain't mezoni sein alecho. The ones which your responsibility you are allowed to put water there, but the ones which are not your responsibility, you're not allowed to. So the Gemara has a kasha. If that's the case, the Mishnah's mashma that only water you're allowed to put, you're not allowed to put in front of wild birds, but would you are allowed to put? Why should that be? If it's Amazon, it's same or left, but it's not your responsibility, what should be the heter to give food either? So the Gemara says the difference must be a different criteria. The difference must be if it's the Lashna Gemara is Shani Mayo the Shchichi Ba'agmo, water is readily available. Water which is readily available, one's not allowed to give, they can get their water elsewhere. Masha'in came. Food is not so easily available, so therefore you're allowed to feed them on Shabbos, you're allowed to feed the birds some food. But the Maaser, the Braith in the Gemara, says they are allowed to feed the birds. So the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, according to the Braith in the Gemara, they are not allowed to feed birds. The Eilat Shabbos says, but the Mishnah says you can. So the Mishnah is mashma that you can. So the Eilat Shabbos says, the difference must be, depends whether it's readily available or not, as the Gemara says. If the food is readily available, then you're allowed to feed them. So therefore in the summer, you're not allowed to feed them. If it's readily available, you're not allowed to feed them. In the summer, when there's plenty of food, the birds can find food in the fields, so you're not allowed to feed them. But in the winter, one is allowed to feed them because they can't find it. It's not shchichi, but agmo, it's not readily available, you're not allowed to feed them. You are allowed to feed them. And therefore, he doesn't speak about this, but Tashas B'Shalach in the Northern Hemisphere is always in the winter. Therefore, one would be allowed to put out food for the birds. The Maaser, he says, because he doesn't want to argue with the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't understand why the Shulchan Aruch passes that also when he seems to be like Musa. The Master Shekel then explains the Beis Yosef, that the Beis Yosef, the reason he didn't pass another way is because the Gilt in the Gemara is Elo Mayo Shani Mayo Lishchich Ba'agmo, which means that I've actually said before that the difference, the criteria is if Mizonisin Alecho or not Mizonisin Alecho. And when the Gemara says Elo, that means Rav Ashi is saying, no, that's not the difference. The difference is whether it's readily available or not. But the Beis Yosef wasn't going to that word Elo. And therefore, when the Gemara says that the difference is whether Shchichi Ba'agmo or not, that is only according to the Maksha of the Gemara. But Rav Ashi still holds that the difference is Mizonisin Alecho or not Mizonisin Alecho. And therefore, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that Rashi, that you're not allowed to. The Aruch HaShulchan brings the Magen Avraham, it brings the Magen Avraham and says that the minig is to do it and it's wrong. And Aruch HaShulchan, he defends the minig. He says, it's okay, it's no problem to feed the bird on Shabbos. On Shabbos Shiyor. He says, very interesting. What's the reason that we feed the bird? He says, because when Kali Yisrael went through the Yam Suf, they sang Shiyor. And the oath was the bird also sang Shiro. And as a commemoration of that simcha of the Shiro, he put out food for the bird. Look, Aruch HaShulchan, we're not doing it for the bird, we're doing it for ourselves to commemorate the simcha of the Shiro Tayom, so there's no problem. The issue is only Tilchi Yisrael to do something for the bird, which is unnecessary. But if you're doing it for yourself, you're doing it to commemorate the simcha of the Shiro Tayom, that's not the problem that you're allowed to do it. The Kutim Marich brings that reason. He brings another reason as well, which is perhaps more well known. Dr. Nanaviram tried to undermine the authority of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu had said from HaKadosh Baruch Hu there would be no mourning on Shabbos, and Dr. Nanaviram said we want to show that Moshe Rabbeinu is wrong. They took their own mourning Friday night and put it out on the ground outside, and in the morning, before the morning, the bird came along and ate up all the mourning. And he said that's why the prophet says on that day on Shabbos Yotzu min ha'om le'ukai, they went out to find and they didn't find. Well, of course they didn't find, the mom didn't fall. So it says they put something out and they expected to find it, but they didn't find it because the bird had eaten it up. So the bird had saved a big chil Hashem. It would have been a terrible chil Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu, the Avian Avim and Azay, the Moshe Rabbeinu's words are not true, Chas V'Shalom. So they saved, the mom saved the chil Hashem. As I call it, to the birds, we put out food for them. And again, it's not for the birds, it's for ourselves to be able to express our call it a toiv. Of the Meister, the Mishnah Brura passes that the Magen Avraham, he brings it, doesn't comment, which means the Mishnah Brura is not happy that you should do it. He says it's any nothing. So, there are eitzes, which I saw in the tape, but I think the most common eitzes is to put it out before Shabbos. The Shemesh Shabbos Kel Chosra suggests you can shake up your tablecloth in the garden after your Suda on Shabbos. There's no problem with Tircha Yisrael shaking out your tablecloth, because you don't have to have a crummy table, you don't have to shake it out. And once you're doing that, then automatically the bread is being fed, so there's no problem, you can be mekayem the minhag without being over the Mishnah Berurah.
I recall once, many years ago, on Shabbos you mustn't shake out your tablecloth in the garden because it's not given to the birds. Every Shabbos you can't shake out your tablecloth.
The Shemesh Shabbos Kel Chosra says you can, but it's not a problem, because you're not doing any malacha. The problem would be Tircha Yisrael, the unnecessary bother, which is you have to clear your table.
I've been told that
you
shake it in the garden.
Maybe it's not true.
Actually,
it's
all
the table. I'm going to shake it out after Shabbos. Maybe it's not true. Okay. Today's Indian is Indian of Ibn Hashem the Simcha. By way of introduction, I'd like to share with you a beautiful verse from the Be'ei Yesus on this week's Seder. Pasuk says at the beginning of the Seder, Vayasev Elohim et Ha'om, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took Klal Yisrael derech HaMidbar Yamsu, through the Midbar towards the Yamsu. VaHamushim Olu Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Klal Yisrael went out of Eretz Mitzrayim, he went out Hamushim. So Chamushim, Targum says, Pshat is, Targum says, Umzorzim, Shashi says, means Mizuyonim, bring some Mechilta, bring some Mizuyonim, they were armed, they went out to Mitzrayim with weapons. The Targum Yenis of Benazir has a very interesting comment here. He says, he explains, Vachamushim, from the Loshim Chomish. And he says, Vachol Chad, in Cham Shot Haflim, everyone with five children, Slik of Bnei Yisrael, and Arad of Mitzrayim, came out of Mitzrayim with five children. He also says in Parshas Goy, he says a similar thing when he says that the Klal Yisrael went out Kesheish Meis Eretz Ragi HaGivorim Levad Mitot, and he says besides the children, how many Ba Mitot Lo Chamsho Chamsho Lechol Gadol, every person has five children. The day is about seems very strange. Everybody has five children, so the same number, 600,000 people all have exactly the same number of children. Seems very strange. And perhaps we can add to this kasha, we learn to Parshas Shemois that Klal Yisrael had six children Bekeres Echad, and one day in the Gemara says that they had 60 Bekeres Echad, another one says Shesh Meiris even. So what's this about five children, what's going on? Look at the Yosef. If you look in Rashi, Rashi means another pshat, and he says, "Vavachir chamushim echod mechamisha yotzu." Also from the word chamish, one fifth of Klal Yisrael went out, and the other four died in the situation in Mount Taylor, which means they didn't want to go out. There were four fifths of Klal Yisrael who didn't want to go out to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore they died because what they don't want to go out. Fine, stay here, and he died. Look the Yosef. That obviously the people who were punished for the adults, the parents, for the children who were innocent, definitely would not have been punished and not have been killed. Which means that there were 4/5 of the adults had died, but these people all had children. So there were 4/5 of the children in Klal Yisrael didn't have parents, they were Yisroelim. Who gives them the path to them? So Klal Yisrael, in an amazing display of chesed, stepped forward, and every person took another 4 families with them out of Mitzrayim. They took responsibility for another 4 families. And that pshat, the Bei Yosef, when Talmud says, Talmud Innocent says, Cham Shotafla, 5 children, it means 5 families of children. Every person has 5 families of children. Besides for their own family, they took another 4 families with them out of Mitzrayim. And with that, he explains the Targum Yerushalmi. Targum Yerushalmi here says, that they came out mezayin the oivado tovo. They came out with nice and tovim. They were armed. The Klal Yisrael were armed with nice and tovim when they came out of Mitzrayim. Now we know, we say the pasuk in the Haggadah from the Chelka, I think, that at Eilim ve'Eliyah, Rashi mentions it last week. The Klal Yisrael had no mitzvahs. They came just before they left Mitzrayim. The Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "You need a chus, and you've got no chus." So what should he do? The Kadosh Baruch Hu gave mitzvah of Kom Tetach, gave the mitzvah of Bismillah, in order that Klal Yisrael should have the chutz to be able to go out of Mitzrayim. So how can the Targum Yerushalmi say that Klal Yisrael were armed with mitzvahs and loads of them? Where did all these mitzvahs come from? Oh, but yet for statement, the Targum Yerushalmi is referring to this same inyan. Klal Yisrael did an amazing act of mitzvahs nefesh. They took 4 extra families of children with them, and that stuck in Mitzrayim, where the prophet had many mice and children when he came out of Mitzrayim. So says by Yosef writer. According to Rashi's chart, that it's 1 in 5. 1 in 5 Klal Yisrael went out. It seems a bit strange that Rabbi here is very mentioned it. What's in the gear here? And by the Machas Kodesh, I should say that 4/5 died when they went out. Why Rabbi here in the beginning of the Sharach, when he says they went to Derech HaMidbar, Yom Tov, Rabbi here, he said that the 1/5 went out. What's the Shaka? So he says, imagine a family are going out for an outing, or even going away on a holiday. If they know that they got some neighbors, the neighbors haven't got parents, so they'll say, you know what, we're going out, let's take them with, we'll give the children a nice day, we'll give them an ati, it's not, it's good for them, yeah? It doesn't matter if somebody's going out, destination unknown, no idea how he's going to live, don't know what he's going to eat, what he's going to drink. We need to take responsibility. For anyone else, it's hard enough. The worry about one's own family is enough. To go and take extra responsibility is usually out of the question. Yet Klal Yisrael, when they were going into the Midbar, they had no idea how long they were going to be there, and they had no idea what they were going to eat, what they were going to get water from. Nevertheless, everyone said, "I don't care. I'm taking another 4 families with me. I know I've got responsibility for my own family. I'm still prepared to accept responsibility for another 4 families." And this is an amazing Mesiras Nefesh. And that's what the Prophet, when the Prophet tells us they were going Derech HaMidbar, going through the Midbar, that's when the Prophet tells us Vachamushim, you should realize that there were only 1/5 of the adults in Klal Yisrael still alive, and nevertheless Klal Yisrael still they went ahead, and they didn't have any fakers about it. They went ahead and took responsibility. The Yisrael finishes off and says that's a shot. The Tosfos says, the Rashi brings it up, he says, we say it in Rosh Hashanah, "Zachati lo chesed noraych, ahavat kulu esoych." The Tosfos says, I remember the chesed of your youth, the avo of your chasana. "Lech techata al amidbo be'eretz le'zeruo." Klal Yisrael followed the Tosfos who be'eretz le'zeruo in a midbo, in a barren land, without any food. And Rashi says, Klal Yisrael didn't ask, how can we go out to a midbo? We don't know how we're going to the hechon istanis. They didn't ask such a kasha. They went with complete emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So he says, because that's shot in the word chesed. Chesed nuraych, the chesed that you did with your children, not with the children. He says nuraych means when Klal Yisrael were young, But the chesed is an amazing mysterious message for chesed that Klal Yisrael did, is something which is of course the Klal Yisrael for all generations. I'd like to take this a bit further. The next two words of the pasuk are Ahavat Kelu Yisroich Avo. What does Avo have to do with it here? Oh, the emphasis is, I think, is Toshut. Avo, love. For somebody who has a love for a father, a son loves a father. So he'll be prepared to do anything, he'll be happy to do anything for him. Nothing too much for him, nothing too difficult. He's more than happy to be a servant to his father. Klal Yisrael would never have been capable of doing such an amazing act of chesed if not for an immense avo that they had for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If Klal Yisrael felt this avo, this love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, maybe they were able to go ahead and do it with a geshmak. They were happy, even though they had no idea how they were going to survive, they were still happy to do this merely to chesed of taking these other families with them. And this is something which is very, it's in the gap for all of us. If there's Hashem, the simcha can be hard. But if one does it correctly, then if one thinks like that, then mainly the whole avodah of Hashem is completely different. And if some person wants to serve Hashem, then always one does it in the best way possible. One doesn't do things in second class. One does things in the best way of being the kind of minister, one does it. The Kriyoko in our week's Seder says, he answers the kasha with a few other kasha. The kasha I've had for many years. The Harish said to Moshe after Makat Choshech, he said, your sheep and your cattle should remain here. I always had a kasha, what sort of a joke is this? They said to Paro that they want to go and be Makat Kavonah. So what's he saying? Go but leave the animals behind. What's the point? The whole point is to be Makat Kavonah, so how can we bring Kavonah if we don't take the animals? The Kriyoko explains. He explains also what Moshe Rabbeinu answers him. It's that Klal Yisrael had animals, they had the cattle, they had the sheep, they had the prize bull, and they also had the other animals, the camels and the donkeys. So Pari said, that's partial by me, is that what are you going to do? You're going to take whatever you get available, cheap quality, you take that, and he gives those a couple of but for Nechem, with Karchem, your prize animals, your good ones, those are not going to be makir of kavanas. So your job is to stay here. Keep them here as a guarantee that you're going to come back. Moshe said to Paro, no, you're making a big mistake. That's not the way we serve Hashem. When you serve your God, it's true. That's the way you do it, because what do you want? You want to gain something from your God. So you get away with the bare minimum. But we love Hashem, and we want to serve Hashem in the best way possible. So forget, we'll take the prize bull is the one that we're going to give as a kavan. And any other good animal is the best we're going to give. But we still have to take more. As we said, we still have to take more. Why? Because we don't know how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to want from us. Perhaps he'll want, besides for our good ones, he'll want more, so they'll have to give the same quality ones. But first choice is definitely the good one. That's always the first choice. I always remember that my father was like, we used to tell us when we were children that he wants to give coin to Tzedakah. So children always like the shiny coins. You know, they want to keep the shiny ones and give the one that's already been through about 50,000 hands, give that one to Tzedakah. Always used to encourage us, give the shiny ones, okay, the ones that you like best, give that one to Tzedakah. That's always, that shows that you smack the chashivas of the mitzvah, it shows that you want to do a mitzvah. So, in Tesefta and Brokos, I was looking there for something else completely. I found it's a very, very interesting lesson. The Sefer says, "Lo yitem adam klum ad sheyavarech." This part is well known. A person shouldn't eat anything till he made a bracha. Shenema Hashem or Tzimloyo. The world belongs to Hashem, and he says, "Hanene mena ulam azem." Well, somebody who has benefit from this world without making a bracha, one has taken benefit from the Kodesh Baruch Hu's things without making a bracha. He hasn't taken permission. He hasn't got permission. So more, you're not allowed to do that. Then the next five words, a bit not clear what they mean. Ad sheyatiru loy kol hamitzvos. The Chassidov is the pirush at the bottom of the Sefer explains that it means as follows. You have a mitzvah is very choshev lach, it's got chashivas, it's got kedusha. You can't just take it just like that, you've got to make a bracha. You don't dare partake of a mitzvah without making a bracha. Which means that we're looking at a mitzvah from a completely different angle. A mitzvah, what do you mean? You can't just have an offer on a mitzvah just like that. You want to make a bracha, like a bracha tananim. You want to do a mitzvah, okay? Make a bracha first. It's a different look at mitzvah. Mitzvah is not just an obligation, it's not a burden. It's okay, it's a zchus, and it's a pleasure to do it. That's what we want to do. Obviously, in order to reach such a madriga, it's a lifetime avoda. And the way to, at least a way to do it, is to get there, is through emunah b'tochen and hakoros atoyis. If a person recognizes that everything he has all comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, nothing that he has is his own, not his house, not his money, not his gezun, not his children, nothing. Everything is all from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're only too pleased to give back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu something, to show your appreciation, and to give something because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do something. The Medrash says in Parashat Vayechi, in the capital, Ibdu et Hashem b'simcha, the Pasuk says, Hu asanu v'loy anachnu. Hashem has made us, v'loy anachnu. Now the word v'loy is written with an aleph. V'loy anachnu is not us. V'loy anachnu, which the way we read it, I mean, we say it the same, but what we have in mind, v'loy anachnu means we are to him. So the Medrash explains, and the Pasuk explains what the Medrash means. The first thing is you have to know v'loy anachnu. That nothing is ours. Everything that we have is not ours. It's not our work. Nothing is our own achievement. Once we realize that, then v'lay anachnu, we can be completely devoted to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Because if we realize that v'lay anachnu, we're an aleph, that nothing of ours is our own achievement, then automatically v'lay anachnu, we can belong to our Kodesh Baruch Hu, we can devote ourselves to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. And perhaps that's why it's in the capital of Ibn Hashem the Simcha. Because the way you can be Eved Hashem b'simcha is when one recognizes that everything's from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore we devote ourselves gladly to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just like a visitor, somebody stays in somebody else's house, he's staying there for weeks on end, and he comes to Erev Pesach, and the Barabbas comes to him and says, you know, it's very busy as you can imagine, perhaps you can help out. We'd like to check the letters, please. And you think to yourself, this job is the worst job, I don't want to do it. But he's glad to do it, he's happy to do it. Oh, he's done so much for me, he's given me a place to sleep, he's given me food to eat, he's given me everything. Of course I'll do it then, I'll be more than happy to do it. And even though you might really not like it, but forget, it's gishmak, you want to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to serve the person. And the same way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is exactly the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us everything, so he says, please do X, Y, Z, we're jumping to do it. If you think about it, it's not really... Oh, it's not so hard to think in that way, because the truth is, we never lose from doing this. We might think that we're losing, but we're not really losing. I forget, often we gain as well. It's well known the Chazal, Kol Mizonitzah Shel Adam Ketuvim Lo Meresh Hashanah Lo Meresh Hashanah. Every person's panosa is fixed, how much he's going to earn in that year, except for the Gemara says, Hitzel Shabbos Yom Tov, the expense of the Shabbat and Yom Tov, and paying for children in Talmud Torah, I think it's another thing in the Gemara. But the Ritzvah, the Vichidish, I found one for Ritzvah, I don't know where it is, but it's not that good of a thing. Any Ritzvah or Mitzvah, any expense of a Mitzvah is included in this extra account. Anything you spend on a Mitzvah, be it a Megillah, be it a Chleis, any Mitzvah that you spend money on, it's a separate account. That doesn't come off your Cheshbon from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and therefore, there's nothing to lose. You do a mitzvah, it costs money, it's still worth it. It's not just the money, the time, everything. Now, how often do we see, sometimes we have a temptation, let's say we're learning with a chavrusa, and we've got an appointment. I want to finish the chavrusa 5 minutes early because I don't want to be late to the appointment. So you say, no, I'll stay till the end and then I'll go to the appointment. And you get there and you see the queue is so long that you wouldn't have gained anything to leave early anyway. So you see, you haven't lost, and sometimes one loses more by, obviously it's an Italian, it's not easy, but the truth is that often we're able to see how we don't actually lose anything from doing Avodas Hashem, sometimes we even gain. As a well-known Meister brought in one of the Magid books about a Yid, I think it was in Russia, who was on his way to work in the diamond district, and he was on his way, he had a few minutes, so when somebody stopped and came from Sashu, you mind coming and make up a minute, I go, Yotza, my mother, can you please make up a minute? So Sam says that he thought he was just going to say Kaddish. He comes in, he says, oh come on, this isn't a minute, there's only about four people sitting there, that's not right. He said to him, listen, do me a favor, wait a few minutes. Waited a few minutes, because he kept coming back to him and telling him, well, I need to go, it's getting late. He said, listen, if I was in your situation, I would do it for you. So stay and wait, right? have to have the choice, he sat down, and wants to have the minion together. They stayed for a whole began to davening, and it's taking a long time. By the time he finished the davening, he raced out of the shul towards his office quite late. As he got near to the area where he was working, somebody came running the other direction, said, "Run for your life, the Bolsheviks have taken over the building, and we almost have to escape, otherwise who knows what's going to happen to you." So his mom, the person thought that he thought he was losing work time from going to help the youth, and in the end he saved his life by not having been there so early. The Medrash says, the Parashat Emor, the Medrash says on the Pasuk in Iyos, "Mi hikdimani v'ashalim," who has preceded me, v'ashalim. So the Medrash goes through a whole list of things. People do mitzvahs, people they praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But how did he manage to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu? With the neshama that I gave him, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Person did Brit Mila with the son that I gave him, put the mezuzah on his house, I gave him the house. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, "I don't owe you anything. Everything that you're doing, all mitzvahs that you're doing it with possessions, with gezunt, with time, with everything that I've given you. So really, I don't owe you anything. Nevertheless, v'ashalim, I will still pay." For the Shmuel, who always, even though he doesn't need to, he still gives us, he pays us for mitzvahs, he gives us schar, even though he directs, we completely mishubat, and we have to do what he wants. It's his own thing. It's definitely a cause for simcha. I once heard, in the connection to this, I heard from Rosh Hashiva, the real Knotzer Shlita, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, "V'cha Hashem Knotzer, ki atos v'ashalim le'ishka ma'aseu." So a person, if you employ a worker and he does the work for you and you pay him, tell me, is it chesed? What's the name? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is a chesed, because nothing, we don't ask anything. Everything that we do, we're using his kerechas, his things that he's given us. So really it's a chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm still going to pay you, I'll still give you, it's even though I don't really need to give it to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a chesed." I think that we see by Kriyas Yam Tov Taka, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reciprocated to Klal Yisrael for the amazing act of Mesiras Nefesh that we did. The Mishnah says in August, "Asor nisim nasa la v'yisenu al hayom." HaKadosh Baruch Hu did 10 nisim in Mitzrayim in Kriyas Yam Tov. Obviously some of them were necessary. They had to the sea splitting, the stream drowning. So the Mitzvashim explained there was the other nisim which were not really necessary, they were extras. They had fruit growing on the sides of the walls of the sea. Okay, it's very nice. Nobody needed it. It wasn't necessary. You could have survived without it. And they had, because Rock especially made the wall transparent so that everybody should see, nobody should think that they're on their own. They could see through, the whole Klal Yisrael was there. Because Rock was doing things which were extra, which were like a extra geschmack. Because Rock was saying, if you're prepared to go the extra mile and to do an act of Mitzvah Nefesh which you're not required to do, you're not obligated to do it, but you're still doing it because you want to serve me, you have an avos to me, you want to serve me, because the Baruch Hu says, "I'll show my avos to you as well, and I'll do things more than necessary to show you that I love you and I appreciate your avodah." Beis Hashem should be zeicher to realize that v'loy anachnu, what we have is not ours, and then v'loy anachnu, and be able to be ibdus Hashem b'sim ko avoy l'fanov v'nono.
Got all these.